Welcome to Unity Reflections of Truth. The Metaphysics of Christmas was a talk presented by Reverend Julian Harvey on the 10th of December, 2023.
So welcome. Today's talk is looking at the metaphysics of the Christmas story and specifically the looking through the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and also looking through the Revealing Word and looking at some of the symbolism that's in it. So the birth story of Jesus appears like so in the New Revised Standard Version. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this comes to pass that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth a son, and he called his name Jesus. So that's it in a nutshell. That's started a process of about, I don't know, a couple of thousand years, a whole bunch of arguments, quite a few Christmas dinners, and various other events that have happened purely because of that statement. So when we look at the metaphysics of it, we sort of have to break it down into its individual parts. In many respects. So looking at initially the aspect of Mary, and Mary has two sides to Mary. There's Mary and then there's the Virgin Mary. And there's two aspects to that. So Mary herself is actually metaphysically interpreted as within the soul. The Virgin Mother represents a pure state of mind that ponders spiritual things in her heart and believes in revelations from angels and messengers from God. Her imagination is so intense that she visualizes the ultra-microscopic germs of life, and they multiply in her body without external contact. So what does that mean? Mary is that part of us that nurtures and grows that spiritual awakening before we even know what that spiritual awakening looks like. It's that part within us that goes, I know there's something else, but I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what it's about. The Virgin Mary, however, symbolizes spiritually quickening intuition and the feeling nature in a non-negative state. So before we start putting all our stuff on that intuition, on that process, the thoughts and the feelings or the ideas or the concepts that might be vaguely there in the background are untouched by any other thoughts, any other negativity. So again, it comes back to that inner knowing, that inner spark that there's something that I'm supposed to be doing, something I'm thinking about, something that's going on. You know what I mean? It's like that before you even know what's really going on, it's that inner knowing, from a sort of a vague point of view. The virgin birth, however, is the awakening of the mind of man to the conception of the Christ Spirit as the only reality. So that's the aha moment where we go, oh, actually, the Christ consciousness, the way of living from the Christ consciousness, is actually the real way of being. It's getting that understanding that we're awakening ourselves to that Christ consciousness. I think if Mr. Fillmore was looking at the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary again this time, this might be one aspect that he might look at altering, because the dictionary says the miraculous conception by which the Virgin Mary is held to have conceived without original sin, and I'm not sure how he would cope with that at this stage, but. What that means to us is that the idea is conceived without error thought. It's not so sin as we know in Unity, and we talk about it a lot. Sin is an archery term meaning missing the bullseye, meaning missing the mark. So when somebody quote unquote sins, it means that they're missing the point, or missing, they're making an error thought or an error consciousness about something. So. And I'll come back to that in a minute. So the virgin birth has to happen without sin involved, because it's an untapped resource. It hasn't had anything added to it. It's that spark of divinity within us, and that knowing of that spark is within us. And then we then have to go on the exploration and find out what that really means. So that's where that comes in. So what's really interesting is that if Mary represents that soul functionality of us, that soul side of us, and I get very nervy about saying the inner feminine, because, you know, the inner feminine is both feminine and masculine. But it's that nurturing, it's that loving, it's that sense of that perspective of who we are as a spiritual being. Then Joseph comes out as the intuitive wisdom. And Mary represents, you know, obviously Mary represents love in that perspective as well. So looking at it from that perspective, Mary represents love, and love without wisdom is a pathway to speaking from experience here, guys, a path to tragedy. Understanding that we need both those, we need the Mary and we need the Joseph. We need those concepts active and working with us. So Joseph, quote unquote, being a righteous man, he wanted to do the right thing without regard to his own interests. He put his own interests aside, and he had to do the right thing. And he did that through. Now, in the Bible, they often use messengers coming in as angels, but realistically, that's the Christ consciousness that's always there and always present, bringing in an understanding of a message or a concept that we need to look at. So in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, it talks about the fact that he meditated on the course he should take, which means he went to that inner knowing space, and he worked from that inner knowing space to make a decision about what he needed to do. And he did what needed to be done, no matter the consequences to him, his reputation, his thought, whatever. He did it. He did what he needed to do. And we have to do the same thing. If we get an intuitive understanding, if we get an intuition about something, or if we get, quote unquote, a message from an angel, we need to be brave enough. We need to be consciously aware enough that this has been given to us from spirit, and that we need to move forward with that consciousness, moving forward into whatever that intuitive decision is. So, in meditation, the mind is stilled and becomes receptive to the true ideas of universal mind, in which all wisdom and knowledge abides. That's the stuff Paul Hasselbeck talks about. This is the stuff I talk about in Metaphysics 1, 2, 3, and 4. I talk about it every time I do metaphysics. It's that infinite field of potential and possibility that is always available and always present to us, and we have to tap into that. And the way we tap into that is through our intuition, through our meditation, through our affirmative prayer. So it's about tapping into that consciousness so that we can then move forward in whatever it is that we're trying to work on. Joseph received his guidance from the Lord in a dream following that meditation, which often happens. We'll go into a meditation, we'll go into the silence, and I don't know about you lot, but I'll do it quite often and nothing happens. When suddenly nothing happens, nothing happens. And so I then find something will happen outside of that meditation process, outside that consciousness, that then I tap into, that then I go, oh, okay, that's the solution, or that's the answer, or that's the direction. So when you have the combination of Joseph and Mary, as they do, they get married, so they join up. They were separate to start with, but they join up. That's representing wisdom and love, which have you know, been ideas in mind. So those ideas of wisdom and love are always there, and we can bring those in. And it's when we start using those two combinations together that the Christ consciousness can come forth through love and understanding. So looking at that, and again, the story talks about Joseph and Mary only being engaged to start with when she becomes filled with the spirit of the child within. And he was going to put her away, but wisdom told him and intuition told him that that was not the right path, and that's had to be listened to. So metaphysically, this means that when we're developing our Christ consciousness and birthing, quote unquote, that awareness in ourselves, we might try and back away. Now, I know you guys don't back away from anything. I'm sure those of you online haven't backed away when you've got an intuition idea. You haven't gone, I'm not doing that. Have you noticed I'm a minister now? Boy, did I back away from that for a long time. Hey, Grace can give you the stories. Trust me, those of you online and those of you, boy, it was like, and the real the real kicker for me was is that the 10th of November was my 30th anniversary of being sober without alcohol, 30 years without alcohol. So, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm very proud of that, but I've done a lot of work on that. And Unity's been a very big, big, big part of that, very big part of that for me, and so has AA. But I was working in Canada. I was on the backup staff at the treatment centre, and I was working in Canada, and they were moving to North Carolina, and I couldn't go with them because I wasn't allowed to work in the States. I wasn't allowed to work in Canada, but they helped me out where they could. Definitely couldn't work in America, so I decided, well, I better come home to Australia. That was about the only option that was available to me. And I said to Gilles Desjardins, who's the guy who ran the whole thing, he said, what are you going to do when you go back to Australia? I said, I don't know. I said, what do you think I should do? And he said, we think you should be a Unity minister. And I was gobsmacked. It's like completely out of the blue, completely out of the blue. And so then when I came back to Australia, I sort of got involved with Unity, but then a variety of things. I decided to allow a variety of things to get in my way. But Rhonda kept, no, she didn't. She didn't at all. I got the message very much within, but the messenger sometimes looked and sounded like Rhonda. Thanks, Dee. Yeah. That's an interesting question. We've got a question online from Richard in the middle of all of this. And the question is the spark different from brain and body? No, not at all. So only when there is no mediator, true meditation happening in daily life. Is true meditation happening in daily life? So just to clarify that, so spirit is everywhere present. It's in everything. It's in every cell of our body. It's in every consciousness. It's absolutely everywhere present. This is the teaching that Unity presents, which is there is only one power and one presence in the universe. Now, quantum physics and science is backing us up. They're talking about the fact that it doesn't matter what's going on anywhere in the universe, the energy that's in everything that's around is the same energy everywhere present. Energy cannot be destroyed. You cannot destroy it. You can change energy. So the classic example I give is that you can light a match and the energy of the phosphorus on the end, the energy that's in there, then turns into the energy of flame, which then turns into the energy of smoke, heat, those sort of things. So it's broken down and it's split apart, but all it is creating a different form of energy. Energy doesn't go anywhere. It's always present. And this is what we talk about at Unity, is that that divine power, that divine understanding, that divine notion is always there and always present. Now, because of a variety or reasons, for whatever reasons, we have built a sense of separation from that. And that sense of separation is what most of us and most of the planet operates from. At Unity, we talk about trying to develop a conscious contact with that Christ consciousness, that spark, that inner knowing of the reality of who we are, and then living from that perspective every day. So we talk about praying, ceaselessly praying. We use affirmative prayer. We don't use supplication prayer. It's not, oh God, grant me this. It's, I see myself as an evolving, you know, process. I see myself as, and seeing the end result and praying to that. And then we use meditation as a form or a way of building that, strengthening that connection within, because the connection's always there. It's whether or not, one of the things I say, one of the key things about Unity is developing your level of awareness. If you can develop your level of awareness of I'm operating from my Christ consciousness or I'm operating from my non-Christ consciousness, and then adjusting yourself accordingly, that's the goal. That's the idea. And so meditating always is a goal or an aspiration moving forward. So that's sort of, you know, the concept of understanding about how using love and using wisdom together to come to an understanding of that, of birthing that Christ consciousness as a functional aspect to our daily life. So coming from there, from that perspective. So the baby Jesus metaphysically represents that point when we realize I really have something called spiritual awareness. It has always been there, but now it is born into my conscious knowing, my perceptive faculties. Now I recognize it is born in me. And that's always a really tough thing to take on board, is when you suddenly realize that the way you've been living for 30 or 40 years, there's another way to do it. That's the birthing of that idea of, hey, I can actually do it from a different perspective. I don't have to stay stuck in the repetitive behavior or the repetitive situation that I'm in. I can change who I am through changing my understanding of the consciousness of who I am. So it's about bringing it from the, and in Unity we talk about the superconscious, which is that infinite field of potential and possibility that's everywhere present. Bringing it from there and from our subconscious, because it's in our subconscious. It's always there. It's always been there. And it will always be there. Into our conscious mind, where we start to consciously live from that perspective. Does that make sense? So this birth, metaphysically speaking, comes through a virgin idea. So the virgin is that it's untouched by error thoughts. It's untouched by any other concept. It is the truth of who I am. So as we know, Jesus the Christ is the Christ is the perfect idea man whom God created, the real self of men. Jesus Christ is the Christ self brought into perfect expression and manifestation. Now, that's a big conversation. I could do an entire talk on Jesus the Christ. Because in Unity we have a class that we talk about. And in metaphysics, we talk about Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, the Christ, the Christ consciousness. Are we done yet? There's a lot of that going on. So understanding that we have that Christ consciousness within us, and that Jesus, the man, was the way shower. He's the one in the Christian scriptures who teaches us and has been teaching us how we can utilize and live from that Christ consciousness, because he also exampled it. He also showed us the way. That's why we call him the way shower. But he said, we have that within us. We have the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is within. He also said that we will do as much of him, if not more, if we follow the teachings that he gave us, which is the Christ consciousness is within. Go within, find that Christ consciousness, and live from there. Now, we have another character in here, which is not mentioned in the birth story, but it is mentioned in the story of Jesus, and it's kind of an interesting one to bring in because some people ask about King Herod. Now, at the time, King Herod was around, and King Herod, according to the story, and there's some conversations we could have about the story, but King Herod in the story made a decision that the king of the Jews was coming and that he needed to kill off all the kids under two. Now, I know as parents, we've always wanted to kill our two-year-olds. You know, when they're driving us nuts, they're doing the whole two-year-old, three-year-old thing. But that's not what we're talking about here. King Herod is also part of the Christmas story because he takes the villain role. Now, a good story always has a hero and a villain. Guess who our hero is? The Christ consciousness. The villain, obviously, is Herod. So when we birth that spiritual awareness and we expand our consciousness, we still have to cope with things going on in our day. We have to think, cope with things that are going on in our mind. We have to cope with those thoughts and stuff. It's not, and I've got to be very careful here, but it is not an instantaneous change from one to the other. The awareness is, you could be over here and say, I'm me. And then over here, you suddenly go, oh, hang on a second. I've got a Christ consciousness within. I'm now aware of that. It is kind of, once you're aware of it, it's kind of instantaneous. However, you're still dealing with being over here. You're still dealing with the quote unquote humanness of the way you've been living and the way your consciousness has been operating up until then. And then you have to change your consciousness. And that's a process that you need to go through. So King Herod represents that aspect of ourselves that has to do them. When a person has the birth of spiritual awareness in him or her, and this great and beautiful expansion of consciousness, he still has to cope with certain things that are still within him. It means you've got to deal with your shadow side, guys. You've got to deal with the rubbish. You've got to deal with the thoughts. You've got to deal with the consciousness that brought you to the point and stage where you said, I need to change. I need something better. Okay. For me, about my alcoholism, the change for me was a movie called Shattered Spirits. So in Shattered Spirits, there's the stock standard alcoholic father, the very scared, enabling mother, and two very scared children. Give you an example from one perspective of this. In one part of the movie, Martin Sheen's character, who's the father, comes home drunk at 3 a.m. and he's ticked off because the son hadn't mowed the lawn that day. He was expecting the lawn to be mowed. It was a job that his son had been given. So at 3 a.m, fueled under a very, very huge amount of alcohol, he got really angry. He pulls out the mower. He starts the mower. He fights with the wife. He hits the son, slaps the son. And a whole bunch of stuff. I'm sitting there watching this movie and I thought to myself, you know what? If I keep drinking, that's where I'm headed. Because I could feel it in me already. I knew that's where I was headed, without a doubt. And so that for me was the light bulb moment of, okay, there's got to be a different way. Dealing with the stuff that that led me to that point and stage where I found myself in treatment, I still had to deal with that. I had to deal with a divorce. I had to deal with embarrassment. I had to deal with feeling less than. I had to deal with I'm a failure. I had to deal with a whole bunch of negative stuff. I still had to deal with all that stuff. But I knew that I had a solution. I knew that I had a way. And that way was connecting to that Christ consciousness within. So you need the Herods. The Herods are what brought you here. The Herods are what make you aware of the fact that you need an understanding of enlightenment. And so the baby Jesus is saved. Baby Jesus is saved from that. which indicates that the rescuing and the preserving of our newly born spiritual awareness from all the onslaughts of negatives it has endured, once it is really born, it is here to stay and the pathway that leads to something greater than even itself. We're in the midst of that pathway now, and our goal is the Christ consciousness. But to get to that goal, we are growing, learning, living, and journeying the pathway of spiritual awareness whilst living in our material consciousness, which is represented by Egypt in the story. So it's understanding that we have that spark within us. That's the hope. That's the, you know, we talk about this period of time being the story of hope and glory and the hope of future, the future. And it's Christmas is known as the hope, the time of hope. And it's really important to understand that we have that within us now and we can access that. And that's our journey, is to live from that Christ consciousness, deal with the shadow side and grow in that consciousness and move forward. So there's a whole bunch more that I could talk about with Christmas. There's some symbolism, the star, the wise men, the gold, the frankincense and the myrrh. But the reality of it is when you look at the metaphysics of all that stuff, they are tools that we have to help us with that birthing process and with that growing up of that spiritual consciousness and that awareness of who we truly are. And in unity, those tools are affirmative prayer. Using our affirmative prayer, saying, you know, a prayer to oneself in the morning, gratitude, and then affirming the desired result, the end result, where we want to be. I see myself as a divinely, spiritually guided, holy person. I see myself. So praying in that way. We have denials and affirmations. We talk very much in unity about denials, and denials are really important because you need to make the space for the affirmation to work. If you just keep doing affirmations, and I know a lot of us grew up during the 70s and 80s where it was all about affirmations. Fake it till you make it. You know, I feel great when you were feeling like rubbish. You know, they don't necessarily, I mean, affirmations work, and I'm not going to, you know, say affirmations don't work, but in unity, we talk about doing a denial, denying the power to that thing which is no longer serving you. You know, I deny the power to my diseased ego. I call my alcoholism my diseased ego because it's diseased. It's not happy. It's a very discombobulated version of myself. So I give no power to that diseased ego. I am divine, I am true, and I am God-given. You know, I am spirit, I am love. These are all affirmations you use, but if you don't use the denial first, it may not be as effective. Getting into the habit of using denials is an important part. And of course, we have the 12 powers. Lip juz flows. Those of you that don't know them, lip juz flows. Life, imagination, power. Judgment, understanding, zeal. Elimination. Faith, love, order, will, and strength. Lip juz flows. Learn it if you can. I do it in Metaphysics 3. So, yeah, we have those 12 powers that we can invite in. If we're struggling with that ego self of ourselves, if we're struggling with the birthing process, invoke the power of strength, invoke the power of wisdom, invoke the power of love. Those are 12 spiritual powers that we have available to us at all time. So we have those tools to help us develop that Christ consciousness. So I want you to take a time now and get yourself into a state and an energy space. And what I really want you to concentrate on and really get a feel for is that Christ consciousness within. Ways to do that are through, you know, feeling your energy, feeling your heart, feeling feeling the every cell of your body, feeling those aspects of your body that you're feeling pressure against or dealing with. I want you to feel that sense of wonder, because you're in this room because you have connected already with that Christ consciousness that is within you. So I want you to relax your body. I want you to close your eyes or not close your eyes. It's up to you how you feel about that. And I just want you to feel that energy of the Christ consciousness everywhere present within you. I want you to feel it in you first. I want you to know that that Christ consciousness within you as we go into a meditation. I want you to feel the sense of Mary, that loving feminine side, that mind of yours that's pondering pure spiritual thoughts, spiritual ideas, spiritual concepts. I want you to spiritually quicken your intuition, invite it in, allow it to embody every cell of your body as you feel the intuition of that knowing your Christ consciousness is everywhere present. And you can visualize, if you need to use your power of imagination, you can visualize that spark of divineness that is within you, flowing in and through and as you. And knowing that that spark of oneness is growing, evolving, bringing forth the divine of who you are. And if you feel King Herod coming up, nattering away to you, gently say, thank you. You brought me here. You got me to this understanding, this consciousness. You brought me here. But I lovingly let you go. I lovingly move you on as I start to operate from the Christ consciousness of who I am. The I am that I am. The I am of who I am. And we know this in the silence. And as we know that within us as individuals, that Christ consciousness is with us, we also know that that Christ consciousness is everywhere present and available at any time. We also know that that presence is everywhere present.